All right, so nobody is pretending that the 49ers put a good product out on the field against the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday. And nobody is pretending that this 49ers offense or 49ers team as a whole has performed as well as it has, especially in the past two seasons. But you can go back to 2021 for yet another NFC title game appearance. Nobody's pretending that. But there are people coming out and saying that the 49ers should burn this all down, that they should fire Shanahan, that Brock Purdy is now all of a sudden a bust, that he's not their quarterback of the future. And they're doing this based on no hard data whatsoever. Here's the truth. The 49ers ranked number one offensively in 2022 under Kyle Shanahan. Number one offensively in 2003 under Kyle Shanahan. And this season, they've slipped down to number six. There are some bizarre shifts that have occurred within the stylistic nature of the 49ers offense, which I'm going to go into over the course of this video. But by no means are they a poor offense. They had a bad game, very obviously, against Seattle, but they're still the number six offense by defense-adjusted value over average, DVOA, this season. And they were historically good in 2022 and 2023. They were comparable to the greatest show on turf Rams in 2022 and 2023. So Shanahan is less than a year away from presiding over a historically good offense. And while he is definitely in a slump this season, and I get it, while injuries also have played a role in that, and while the result Sunday was brutal against the mediocre Seattle defense, he's nowhere near firing territory. And there's one thing that extreme takes that are histrionic. The word histrionic is great. It means being overly dramatic just to get attention. The only thing that extreme takes and extreme histrionics do is expose those who are casuals, those who don't actually know what they're talking about. Ted Nguyen was interacting with somebody on Twitter who said that from 2019 to 2021, Kyle Shanahan was a genius, but we've been telling him to adjust since 2021. And I said, wait a minute. From 2019 to 2021, the 49ers didn't have close to the top offense in the league. They're top five, top six a couple times, but they weren't the top offense in the league. And then in 2022 and 2023, they were by far the top offense in the league. So what this guy was saying, and he was saying it loudly, he was getting his Twitter megaphone out, he was saying that Shanahan, as the coordinator and coach of an offense that was far from number one, was a genius. But Shanahan, as the leader of an offense that was historically good, number one in 2022 and 2023, needed to adjust to whatever he told him to adjust to on Twitter. And I said, why don't you just admit that you don't know what you're talking about? You don't know which year the 49ers had a good offense and which year they didn't have a good offense. You just don't know what you're watching. And so many of these takes that we see in this social media ecosystem now are coming from people who very clearly do not know what they are watching. The 49ers, offensively and defensively this year, just as a whole, have still been one of the most efficient teams in football. The disconnect comes because they're only 5-5 right now. They have obviously underperformed their efficiency. That can happen over a 10-game sample size. This is not a full 17-game season, not even close to a baseball season at 162 games where the average is typically even out. In football, you definitely do have to have luck break in your favor over the course of the shorter season. The 49ers have not closed games out well this year. That's why they sit here on the team tier chart with their offense actually far to the right. That's on the X-axis. So the offense behind really only looks like four teams, maybe the Bengals as well. But Washington, Baltimore, Buffalo, and Detroit have had more efficient offenses. They're a little bit above average on the defensive side of the football. They're not in a bad position here. Where they are in worst position is record-wise at 5-5. And that's what counts. I get it. But it's also not what's most predictive for the future. And we have to understand that sample sizes are definitely a part of this. And we have to understand that the 49ers have a track record, and Shanahan has a track record of turning things around and ultimately delivering over the long run. Does that necessarily happen over the course of one season? No. Coaches have bad seasons. Bill Walsh had bad seasons. The 81 49ers won it all. 82, 83, not as good, especially 82. 1983, they lost to Washington in the NFC Championship game. Those of you who have been around watching these games for a little longer while, you probably still disagree with the holding penalty. Ronnie Lott there at the end. So the 49ers lose by a field goal to Washington 83. They win the Super Bowl in 84. 85, 86, and 87, the 49ers do not win. In fact, in 1986, they lost 49-3 in the playoffs, the first game in the playoffs, to the New York Giants. So looking at that through the social media lens, like it's to me, because social media didn't exist back then, you see how some of these seasons went for the 49ers back in their dynastic years. And it would be like fire everybody all the time if Twitter had existed back then. Like, you would never hear the end of it in the mid to late 1980s as the 85 Bears won, as the 86 Giants killed the 49ers, as the 49ers is the number one seed in 87, lost in the Minnesota Vikings. It's funny because they finally got out of that rut. San Francisco finally got out of that rut in 1988 when they were 6-5. They were a game better than they are right now. And everybody wanted to fire, you know, the social media iterations of everybody back then wanted to fire Walsh. The extreme fringe wanted to fire the head coach. And then he turned around and he won a Super Bowl. So these seasons are never defined in one game referendums. And everybody wants to make a single season a referendum. You can't do that, let alone make a game a referendum. And that's what people are trying to do right now. Bottom line is the 49ers, they're somewhere between 1.5 to 2.5 underdogs against Green Bay. This next game has massive, massive swing potential for the 49ers. You've got this horizontal line shows the difference between a win and a loss when it comes to playoff chances. So high leverage game for San Francisco, also a high leverage game for Green Bay. If the 49ers win, they are going to be over 50% in terms of playoff probability. If they lose, they're going to be down underneath 15%. So from 15 to about 53, 54%, that is a huge, huge margin. For the Packers, if they lose, 60% playoff probability. If they win, 90% playoff probability, which is also a huge, huge margin. Cardinals facing one this week as well, and they're the team that's atop the entire NFC West. So a massive game is coming up. When we talk about one-game referendums, this is as close to it as it's going to come when it does boil down to playoff chances. But it's not going to be a referendum on Kyle Shanahan and his tenure as the 49ers coach. He is undeniably in a slump right now. I've talked so much about that, but he has popped out of slumps before, and he would, you know, if he weren't in a slump at any point, he'd be the first head coach to not ever see a slump. Take a look at this. This is just one of the staggering stats surrounding the 49ers this year. And this shows me that Kyle Shanahan has struggled this season without Christian McCaffrey, with the loss of Brandon Ayuk, the holdout of Brandon Ayuk happening before that injury, I think, has hurt the 49ers' offensive process. But they're seeing less space than any other team in the NFL on the field this year. So Shanahan has obviously struggled in that regard. There are other statistical measurements that show a rather bizarre stylistic shift from the 49ers. They've gone from number one in the NFL over the past several seasons in yards after the catch to dead last, number 32. They've gone from having their quarterback release the ball relatively quickly to having their quarterback take the longest in the league in many of these games to release the ball. So Brock Purdy, because guys aren't as open, we talked about the separation, number 12 to number 32. Because guys haven't been as open, he's had to run around a lot more. There's a little less faith from the quarterback in Shanahan's system this year. It's clear as day when you watch how the 49ers operate. They've also gone from throwing the ball short to throwing the ball much longer downfield, and that correlates with the reduction in yak. Basically, what Shanahan had hung his hat on stylistically in the past is simply not happening at that level this year. The stylistic identity of the 49ers offense has made a weird shift, and that's what I wrote about here on Twitter. That being said, they're still at number six in DVOA. So that being said, they've still found a way to cobble things together. I've argued mainly due to the skill position talent that has been available. It's either Brock Purdy, George Kittle. Obviously, he missed the past game. That was something that was a factor in the 49ers' loss to the Seahawks. Christian McCaffrey has made some plays for the 49ers ever since he returned to help keep the offense afloat. You know, we can go through everybody, with Juwan Jennings probably taking the cake as the superstar of this 49ers offense. He's now emerged into that X receiver position. But regardless of what the 49ers have done to produce, especially on a per play basis, they're number two in yards per play. They have not seen commensurate point production. They're number 10 in points per drive. So they're number two when it comes to the production across the entire field. But when it comes to punching it into the end zone, they're number 10. How much of this falls on Shanahan? I think quite a bit. I mean, he's the guy that has to scheme players open. I think, you know, what we talk about the separation numbers, how much of this falls on Shanahan? I think quite a bit. He's the guy that has to make sure that guys get open. And we know that the 49ers still have weapons who are capable of getting open. It's preposterous to say that they're not fast enough or that these guys can't generate separation on their own. It needs to all cohesively work within the system. So obviously Shanahan has not been at his best, but Shanahan also has a track record. And if this is Shanahan at his worst, the number six offense in the league, well, you should probably go check in on some teams that have it much, much worse than the 49ers. You're not going to be the greatest show on turf every single season. So the goal for the 49ers right now, it's still the Super Bowl. I mean, the goal is still to go out there and capitalize on the roster that they do have, on the great quarterback that they do have. And to reach that, you have to keep your efficiency ranks in the same area that they've been, but you've got to convert them to wins. Danny G on Twitter had a great little breakdown here. The Niners offense ranked through 10 games. Danny G is an awesome follow, by the way. Second in total yards, second in yards per play, fourth in adjusted net yards per pass attempt, fourth in rushing yards per attempt. So you got top four, top five across the board there, but eighth in total points scored, first in average yards per drive, 10th in average points per drive. You've got to close the disconnect if you're the 49ers, and that disconnect lies in the last two rows that I just read. They had a drive against Seattle where they went 14 plays, yet those 14 plays did not yield a point, did not yield a giveaway, and did not yield a turnover on downs. I don't even know how that's possible. But that just really encapsulates what's happening this season, is that there's meat on the bone, but the 49ers aren't eating all of it at this point. But for the meat to get on the bone in the first place, they've got to be doing something right. So Danny illustrated it really well there, and it's what I'm talking about in a lot of these other examples. The 49ers have to begin executing at the very fine points. And I think to do that, they've got to generate some more separation. They've got to manufacture it. I talked about that a little bit earlier today in terms of Kyle Shanahan maybe running some bunch formations, trying to get some guys more open than they have been. Purdy cannot be unsustainably throwing into the tightest of windows time and time again, because eventually it's going to turn into something that we saw against Seattle, but with regularity. When he forced that ball into Christian McCaffrey that popped up into the air, I think that was Witherspoon who popped it into there, and then Hankins grabbed the interception. That's Brock Purdy having to recalibrate on the fly when guys aren't open. He's having to start considering guys who are fairly tightly covered as open because there is nobody running free. The easy gimme plays that give you chunk yardage that should make these drives ones where you can save your best bullets for last, those aren't there. So they're having to deliver their best bullets first. And that's becoming hugely problematic for the 49ers as games stretch out. It's been an issue over the past 2 weeks for San Francisco. There have been games where it hasn't been an issue, so there's definitely been inconsistency for the 49ers in that regard this year. But new, more creative ways to beat defensive coordinators to the punch from Kyle Shanahan, to open players up earlier in games for chunk plays that can get the 49ers offense rolling before they're sitting behind the eight ball, that's what's going to help turn this around for the 49ers. And let's not get it twisted. Brock Purdy is still playing really, really good football. Sometimes I think people need the visual. Purdy, despite everything that has been stacked against the 49ers this year, from the injuries to Shanahan not being at his best to you know, and one reason Shanahan hasn't been at his best is that the 49ers are getting the absolute best from every single defensive coordinator that they play. But, I mean, look to see where Purdy is here. You want to be in the upper right. This is PFF offensive grade on the x-axis, and then the expected points added, the efficiency on the y-axis. Purdy's in an enviable spot. I get it that last year he was probably way up here. I know the PFF grade didn't like him as much last year, so he was probably some kind of weird outlier way up here above Jared Goff, but you know that same kind of category according to this chart. This year he is in that cluster of quarterbacks who are delivering at the very highest level. And he's added the whole leg component. He probably has had to add that for the 49ers to be necessarily productive this year, with the separation not there, with the product not being as good offensively. So, you know, you can't have it both ways. You can't say fire Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy isn't the future, yet still look down and see the 49ers offense at number 6 overall DVOA this season. Somebody's doing something right to get that ranking up to where it is. And I would argue that Brock Purdy and Juwan Jennings, those types of players right now, are carrying this team through a schematic rough patch that Kyle Shanahan absolutely must turn around. But I'm not going to treat this one season as a referendum. I'm not going to, definitely not going to treat single games as referendums. I'm going to look at this from a strategic perspective because I'm not a casual. And if I said fire Shanahan, well, then that would out me as a casual, somebody that doesn't know the game, doesn't know ball, doesn't understand that this is extremely complex. I'll let you chew on this for a bit. The 49ers special teams has been so bad this year that it's probably lost them, I would say, 2 games. So they're 5-5 right now, right? If the special teams is just average this year, you can make a compelling argument that the 49ers would be 7-3 with completely unchanged offensive and defensive performance. If the 49ers were 7-3 right now with better special teams, the conversation about both their offense and their defense would be completely different, even if the performance of those two units would be exactly the same. So what that shows you is that people use completely unrelated facets of the game to make their judgments about the offense and the defense. They allow special teams performance to bleed into their evaluation of somebody like Brock Purdy. And that ends up being completely unproductive because as you can see, Brock Purdy is definitely not any part of the 49ers problem. With Shanahan, I get it. He's responsible for the special teams. He's the head coach of the football team. They generally haven't been great ever since he's been the coach of the 49ers. But you can also zoom out and see that he's presided over teams that have been good enough to make it to the Super Bowl or at least the NFC Championship on a consistent basis. We're talking 2021, 2022, 2023, go back to 2019. In general, when players have been healthy enough, the 49ers have been really good under Kyle Shanahan. When they've had a ton of injuries and they have the most money in the NFL in injured reserve this year, there have been more struggles. 2020 comes to mind, this season going better than 2020, but they also have fewer injuries. It's not shocking that a team with good players available tends to play better football. It's almost like those two things are correlated. I know that's shocking for some people to hear, but it is almost like good players and good football are correlated things. So you have to have those good players available in order to be the best possible football team. Let's take a first look at 49ers Packers.
And for the 49ers to turn the page and face the Green Bay Packers. It's going to be much colder in Wisconsin than Santana Row, San Jose. I know I don't feature the South Bay as much, but have to do it here. The Christmas tree is already up. Do you think it's a little too early for Christmas trees? Margo definitely thinks it is. I'm ambivalent toward it all, but we're going to get our wintry weather in soon, covering the 49ers with Green Bay and Buffalo coming up. The 49ers are actually going to travel back to the Bay Area since it's Thanksgiving. They're not doing a stayover. So this is, I think, the most challenging two-game stretch of the season. Packers, number 8 overall DVOA. 49ers are number 6. Most teams with a DVOA in the top 10 have a winning record. But no, the 49ers are the exception. They haven't been able to finish these games. They've blown these leads. It's got to change, preferably now for San Francisco. How's it going to change? Well, Green Bay's got a good offense. They've been scoring points. They're number 3 offense DVOA, but they're down to number 16 defense. So the 49ers need a better showing from their offense. We did the driving with David video a little bit earlier. You go check that out if you want to go into the breakdown of what I think the 49ers need to do after talking to some coaches. Separation, obviously an issue. They've got to manufacture some of that. The run game and the pass game tie together. But I think the opportunity for San Francisco lies in their offense against Green Bay's defense, especially since I think the weather should be fairly clear in Green Bay. I mean, I know those are famous last words that could often be derailed, but I think that the 49ers should be able to operate offensively without blizzard impediments, as is sometimes the fear once it starts rolling around into this time of the year. Now, one thing that is always interesting to me about the Green Bay Packers is, and any team, you know, teams have certain MOs and certain things tend to remain true for longer periods of time. Remember when the 49ers went into Green Bay for the snow game in Green Bay a couple years ago, 2021 playoffs? 49ers had a bad special teams unit that year, but we said the Green Bay was even worse on special teams. Well, that's not quite the case this year. The 49ers might be the worst team in football on special teams, but the Packers are number 24 DVOA. So Green Bay's got a good offense. I mean, top 3 offense in DVOA. They've got a mediocre defense and they have a bad special teams. And something like that can end up playing out pretty well for the 49ers, because you don't have a team that's going to kill you theoretically unless you really screw things up on the special teams aspect, and then you could play into the improvements that you need to make. I think we know that the 49ers offense has a lot more in the tank than they showed against Seattle. Finally, this is a Tom Brady game. Tom Brady is going to be calling this. Kevin Burkhardt, Aaron Andrews, Tom Rinaldi. So it's a big deal. 49ers have over a 50% chance to make the postseason if they win, and under a 20% chance, about 15%, if they lose this game. So massive swing. Fox, I think, recognizes that this is a marquee game, not just the uniform matchup, but also the potential playoff implications. And we get to see the 49ers with their back up against the wall. Kyle Shanahan talking about how pissed off everybody was in the building. Well, We'll see if they can translate that anger into a win. We'll cover this very, very closely this week. One note for you, Jordan Love has already thrown 11 interceptions this year. I think the 49ers, it behooved them to take the ball away in Green Bay when they head to Lambeau Field, the land of the Lombardis, this week.
49ers need to make Santa Clara the land of the Lombardis again. There's five Lombardi trophies there, but I'm the only recent Lombardi that's been added into the mix at the 49ers facility covering the team. And I think that's where a lot of the frustration comes from. The 49ers haven't won a Super Bowl in 30 years. And there seems to be this attitude that the 49ers have a birthright to a Super Bowl that comes out of the 80s and the 90s, which, you know, it's hard to win in this league. So the 49ers were blessed in the 80s and 90s. The fans have been taught, or at least, you know, it's been demonstrated to fans that it is hard to win in this league at a time since the 49ers last won a trophy on January 29th, 1995. On top of that, they've gotten really, really close to winning Super Bowls in those three decades. So it's created this torture chamber. So I understand the frustration, but frustration should never turn into a knee-jerk reaction, especially several days after a loss. Like, it's now Tuesday. It's not like Sunday evening at this point when I get everybody's emotional, everybody's upset. It's Tuesday. You've had 48 hours to consider what happened in the game and look at the big picture. And there are teams that are much worse than 5-5 than the 49ers right now. They're the biggest underperformers at the top rung of efficiency, unquestionably. Other teams that are in the same DVOA range as the 49ers are like 7-3 or 8-2 right now. But that goes both ways. They've had to do enough good stuff to get to that DVOA rank. Now they need to bring up the rear and figure out a way to stop leaving so much food on the table. They have to start eating consistently, and they're going to have to start doing that against the Green Bay Packers coming up this weekend at Lambeau Field. This show is sponsored by Public Rec. Are you tired of squeezing into stiff dress pants at the holiday party? This season, unwrap the gift of comfort with the Game Changer pants from Public Rec, the office pants that look like Monday but feel like Sunday. Imagine clocking in while feeling as cozy as if you were still in bed sipping hot cocoa. With a soft hand feel and smooth drape, these pants are fan favorites for a reason. Whether you're closing deals in the boardroom, navigating holiday travel, or mingling at company parties, the Game Changers will keep you looking sharp and feeling great. Public Rec is the ultimate men's clothing brand for blending comfort and style seamlessly. And trust me, you won't be disappointed. Stay comfortable this holiday season without compromising style, because with Public Rec's Game Changer pants, you really can have it all. And for a limited time, our listeners get 20% off their entire order with code Lombardi at publicrec.com. That's 20% off with code Lombardi at publicrec.com. So stop suffering in regular pants and give the gift of comfort this holiday season. For a limited time only, our listeners do get that 20% off when you use that code Lombardi at checkout. That's 20% off with the code Lombardi at publicrec.com. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Give yourself or someone you love the gift of comfort this holiday. And give them the gift of perspective, too. You can see it here with what Brock Purdy has done so far this season. You can talk about it over the course of several seasons. The 49ers have done a lot of good things. We should be talking about strategy and how San Francisco can improve the biggest problem, which I think is separation offensively. That's what we should be doing. Here's another Purdy chart for you. He's also in the top right of this one. Also solid. We can talk about strategy of how the 49ers can move their logo into even more favorable position. I know a lot of times it goes back to the special teams for San Francisco, and I think that a lot of the evaluation this year has They're coming off a particularly poor game offensively right now, and I think that's why the focus has really zeroed in on Shanahan. But knee-jerk reactions just aren't the way to go. 49ers still have a good coach. They still have a good operation. And just like many teams in the past, including Super Bowl winners who wore the 49ers uniform in the past, they have to figure out how to turn this around in the month of November with a game at Green Bay coming up. All right, we'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks for watching.